Hello, and welcome to Ag Tech Talk, Agribusiness Global's podcast exploring the latest technology, innovations, tools, and services that are moving the crop input community forward. I'm your host, Dan Jacobs, Senior Editor with Agribusiness Global. Each episode, we talk with industry experts to learn their insights on ag tech solutions being developed around the world and how they could impact your business. Whether it's agricultural technology you'll find in the field, on a tablet, or in the air, we'll talk about it here. Today, we're talking with Mike Gomes, Vice President of Sustainability and Global CSR with Topcon Positioning Systems, a division of Tokyo, Japan-based Topcon Corporation. Mike has spent more than a quarter of a century focused on precision agriculture, the last 19 of which have been as a Topcon employee. Mike has been tapped to lead a new global team that will focus on sustainability, both internally and with its partners. The organization is also opening a 60-acre research and validation center in Livermore, California. Thank you for being with us today, Mike. We're going to be talking about Topcon Positioning Systems. Why don't you give us an overview of what that is and where it fits into the Topcon umbrella?
Sure thing. Dan, thanks very much for having me today. So Topcon Positioning Systems, we're a manufacturer of electronics, primarily electronics and sensors and solutions used by the construction and the agricultural business. And so for many of your listeners, if they're familiar with the NORAC boom height control systems, that's a Topcon product. They may also be familiar with the Digistar weighing systems that are in mixers or loaders or different things like that, or grain carts. And so those are also Topcon products. Those are part of our line of, for example, Topcon auto steering systems or variable rate application or variable rate application on the go, yield monitors, any of those kinds of things. And so all of that collection of sensors and products rolls up into a portfolio of precision ag products. Topcon Tools, we're a 92-year-old company that makes sensors that are sensors of measurement. In the sustainability world, increasingly, people want to do a better job to measure so that then they can manage. And so we fit into that picture.
Sustainability, that's the focus. The Topcon Positioning System created a new global team to focus on sustainability. And that's what you're leading here. Can you talk a little bit about what this global team is going to be doing?
Sure thing. So you're right. I'm the Vice President of Sustainability and Global CSR, and we frame that as it's really a strength and commitment. So Topcon has always had a very strong support for the idea of doing the right thing and sustainability. And so by standing up our sustainability team, what we're doing is we're really strengthening that existing commitment, right? And so when we begin to talk about this, one of the first things that people do is they ask me, hey, Mike, what is sustainability? And so to me, the easiest way to frame that up is the idea that in order to have a sustainable company, the first and most important thing is that you have some amount of profit, right? You have to be able to listen to your customers. And so those are the first two things, right? But really, sustainability is the balance from profit only to how are you treating the people and what does that mean for the planet, right? And so to me, sustainability is a bit of a reframe of a not profit only, but really a balance between profit, people, and planet, right? And so we see that in our products every day, and we have for a long time. And so that's why I see that it's a strengthened commitment. It's much more of a focus towards just being able to realize those things. A lot of people don't realize this. When we put in, for example, the precision ag product, we create not just economic value for the end users, but also value for the operators and the fact that it's better job skills and they're safer and they have less fatigue and those kinds of things. In addition to the fact that there are a huge number of environmental benefits of precision agriculture, doing more with less, less fertilizers, growing better food, linking ourselves to things like renewable fuels, right? And it's not just about food, but also about feed and about biofuels. And so increasingly, you begin to see how sustainability or how aspects of sustainability begin to frame into that context. And so TopCon standing up a small global team around sustainability is in response to, in many cases, the investment community and kind of where institutional investment is going, in the fact that companies increasingly are having to respond to, are you a good corporate citizen? Are you making profit, but also have the balance of creating better work? And are you sourcing products ethically? Are you manufacturing those products in an ethical manner? And what benefits, right? What environmental benefits are you creating along the way with those products? A lot of those kinds of things.
It sounds like then this is a both internal and external kind of a project. It, you know, internal and looking at what TopCon is doing, the types of things you're providing, and also helping ultimately those end users and everybody else maybe along the way, how to improve their sustainable outlook, I guess.
That's exactly right. And so if you're going to go out into the public eye and say, hey, we're a sustainable company, the first thing you have to do is you have to be able to look at yourself, right? What's your global footprint? What's your greenhouse gas emissions in the products that you produce, right, in order to get those products produced? And so those are called your scope one and scope two emissions, right? That's your direct emissions from the manufacturer of that product. Or it might also be the electricity or different power consumed that it takes you to get to that product. The third is kind of what they call scope three, which is the upstream downstream benefits, right? And so the first thing that we do in an internal effort like this is that there's an internal effort of, okay, hey, we're going to move the company along. People aren't necessarily used to what the sustainability group might do. It's a new word for a lot of people. It's a whole new vocabulary. There's an alphabet soup of acronyms and things. But if you're going to go tell the public, hey, we're a sustainable company, you have to be able to explain where you are in that journey, right? And we're all working to get better. And so in our first year, the team is spending more focus internally than externally. For me, the biggest thing is that TopCon has had a strong commitment to sustainability over many years. It's been in our corporate vision here at the positioning group since 2016. It's just now coming to the forefront, right? And that's why I say that it's a bit of a strengthened commitment, in my opinion. And what we talked about was kind of two proof points around that. One is the opening of our most recent 60-acre research and validation center in Livermore, California. And then the second is that we're in the process of taking our Livermore campus onto solar to reduce our scope two. And so in my thinking, those are two examples of proof points of how TopCon is not just saying the right thing, but working to have actions behind what their messaging might be.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the general goals, what those might be. Is it too early, or do you have specific targets in mind? Reduce our carbon footprint, or we want to decrease the amount of electricity used by X percent, you know, that kind of thing? Or is that still a little too early for that?
So that's exactly right. So the first thing you have to do is you have to be able to understand where you are. You have to measure so that then you can do a better job to manage. And so we're in the process of understanding that measurement first. Our corporate parent has been doing this the past couple of years. And so they have a very good idea from Japan what it takes. But here at the positioning group, we have manufacturing in five different countries, right? And so that's five different sets of rules and those kinds of things. And so we're in the process of just beginning to understand where we are on the map before we head for goals. That being said, like I had mentioned, right, purchased power is typically your scope two emissions. When the opportunity presents itself, we've got programs so that then we can begin to adopt solar, right? So we might not know exactly what our scope two emissions are, but we know that we want to work towards zero. That's why I use that as another proof point is that we're putting a large solar project in on our Livermore campus. We don't necessarily have to know exactly where we are to know that we have to improve, right? We're in a bit of a moving car, if you will.
That makes sense. So whenever we do, well, just about any story, the term supply chain comes up, right? So, you know, every company is touched on sort of both sides, you know, bringing in stuff and then sending out material. Obviously, you want to work with all of these partners and help them reduce their scope two emissions and whatever else it is. Is this ultimately going to be something that you will also make available to even companies maybe you don't work with, like some of the things you learned? How is that going to play out?
Yeah. So at Tumco, we've always had a very open door policy about where we are on things because we're a strong believer in a stronger industry. For example, how did we start on this journey? As TopCon, we serve a number of the largest OEMs, the John Deere's, the Caterpillars, the Volvo Constructions, those types of companies, because we're a vendor to them. They brought us into this journey as one of their vendors 2 or 3 years ago. So today, we're beginning to understand where our own scope 2 and scope 3, the upstream, downstream pieces are going. And then in turn, we will, of course, begin to lean on our contract manufacturers so then we can understand where they are. One of the probably biggest things you see is the interdependence, that we're all interdependent on one another in the supply chain, but we're also all on different places in the journey, right? Different steps along the path to get started.
You mentioned the Livermore facility that's being created. Kind of gave us a general overview of what's there. Can you talk a little bit more about what specifically will be happening on that site?
Sure thing. We've always had a research and validation center in Livermore. We happen to have our previous one was only about 9 acres. It was located in a gravel pit in between two cities, right? And so it came to the point where that property was no longer available to us. And so when we had the opportunity, we acquired a larger piece of property, 60 acres. And function of that is for research and validation. So in many cases, when we're working with the various technologies, construction and agriculture, before you take it to an OEM or before you take it to somebody else, you got to be able to prove to yourself that it does what you think it does and those kinds of things. And so our research and validation center enables just that. We're survey and construction. It's a place that we can put our technology into equipment and begin to think through elements of the integration into that equipment. Are the sensors sensing in the right way what we're doing when it comes to the surface, when it comes to planting, when it comes to understanding the crop height, when it comes to understanding measuring the weight, all of those kinds of things. So then we can do a better job to understand how does it work and then does it work over time? Can we put it into all the different aspects that a customer will, right? And so then you've got to be able to prove it to yourself. And so as part of driving innovation, you have to be able to have a place that you can test and fail at testing, right? And if you can't do that for yourself before you take it to the ultimate customers, you're not as strong as, you know, you might be in the industry kind of thing.
So you mentioned soil health. We've talked about energy usage. Precision ag certainly has an impact on the amount of crop inputs going in. So these initiatives sort of touch a bunch of areas. I mean, are there some other aspects of agriculture that you haven't mentioned yet that this will be touching?
The biggest thing is we started down this road because why sustainability? And is sustainability just a word, right? What's happening is that global investors are beginning to drive the scrutiny of companies or the examination of companies or where are you in this journey, right? What benefits do your products really provide other than profit to yourselves? In precision ag, this isn't necessarily new news, right? This is what we've been doing for a long time. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers validated a couple of years through the environmental benefits of precision ag. This is something that the Global Ag Technologies team and Meister Media has been familiar with for a long time, right? When they were looking at the steps to adoption. And so to us, it's just a framing of this information, a bit of how we're creating those benefits, whether it's around food and reducing world hunger, it's around clean energy, it's around feed for animals, and it's around doing more with less, right? And doing the most with the resources we have available to us. And so to me, I think it's a lot of more of the same, right? In many cases, I think we've done a pretty good job around in the bases on a lot of these things. And we certainly see that Meister Media and the Global Ag Technology effort that you have there has been a strong supporter of this. And so that's where we see a very high degree of alignment between those two.
Mal, thanks for the shout out. We appreciate it. Sustainability, you know, for a long time was kind of a buzzword. I think everybody, it made you feel good, but putting it into action wasn't happening a lot. And in the last few years, it really seems to, again, people, like you say, people define it differently, but I think everybody has a pretty good understanding of exactly what the concept of sustainability is. Is my sense correct that this is not just a passing fad? This is really kind of a movement that is going to continue and move on?
I think you're exactly right. How is sustainability part of the new normal, right? And so whether you see that in like here in the United States, where the recent Biden administration put quite a bit of funding around climate smart technologies, right? This next year, we'll specifically with the new farm bill, we may very well see the adoption of precision agriculture being one of those things that gets a renewed commitment. In many cases, in the global spectrum, right? Europe has had elements of these Green Deal programs or being able to push these things forward for a long time. And for example, in Europe, whether they're mandating that, hey, between 2025 and 2030, you need to use less inputs, you know, again, additional scrutiny. And so I would say that in an information-based society where consumers are becoming more and more aware, and particularly post-COVID, they have a much higher sensitivity to what inputs are going into, how was their food raised, what are the sustainable practices behind some of those things, right? And so I think it's not just about inexpensive food, right? But it's also about the good that we've been doing as an industry for a long time. In my opinion, this whole sustainability thing, it's an opportunity for us to show that we've been doing the right thing as an industry for a long time, right? And really, in many cases, a lot of times people in agriculture will be a little standoffish about the word sustainability. To me, that change is certainly something that it's an opportunity that we can create, right? Is we've been doing more with less. We've been only putting out what we need, right? Why? Because it's the best long-term thing for our business, and that's sustainable in its own. So to me, that's why the opportunity to become the VP of sustainability here at our company was an opportunity for this to kind of come full circle in my career, right? It's just, again, strengthening our commitment or being able to see and explain and show people how we are doing the right things and how we are doing more with less and how we are building a better world and how we're creating societal benefits for people that will never know our name. And that's okay to me. That's part of the benefit that our industry represents for sure.
Here's the danger of doing live interviews. I had another question about the Livermore facility and we kind of got off target there. So I'll ask you now. You also have research and validation centers in Italy and Australia, I believe. Can you talk about how these three work together? How, you know, this upgraded one here in Livermore is going to be part of that?
Sure thing. And so you're exactly right, is that we started off first with a small facility, like I talked about many, you know, 20 plus years ago here in Livermore. Then we added one in Australia at one of our development centers in Adelaide, Australia. And then we added one in Northern Italy, outside of Bologna, in a place called Concordia, Italy. And so what you see with those three facilities is that they're by the watch, they're about 8 hours time zone wise apart from each other. And remember, we also make the grade and slope technologies that we might use for off-highway vehicles. So in this case, we can construct the same course on an area that we own and control, right? Three different places around the clock. And so what that does is when we're working with equipment manufacturers or when we're developing a product, it means that our engineer and product management teams can put the same tractor, sprayer, combine on the same course in the same repeatable position and be testing it, starting in Australia and then moving to Europe and then coming, right? So that then that enables elements of when we really marshal our resources, round the clock testing and those kinds of things. And so it's elements of when you are an organization like ours that has a global footprint. Now, don't get me wrong, there are lots of challenges with that, right? And this is an example of where we're trying to leverage that in one of the opportunities of how we do a better job to serve both the OEMs as well as farmers and farm contractors through making better cutting edge and leading technologies.
Last question is always the same. What else do we need to know? What didn't I ask you about?
Like I said, I think that we have rounded the bases pretty well on this subject. Certainly open to any questions. If anybody has any ideas, if anybody has any follow-up, any of your listeners have any follow-up questions for us, an easy way to find us is at topconpositioning.com, and certainly always happy to answer questions. As TopCon, we've always been a strong proponent of trying to build a stronger industry. And so we appreciate the opportunity to share our information with you and your listeners today, Dan. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate your being here, sharing all this information about the new TopCon Positioning Systems sustainability-focused global team that you're going to be leading and the Research and Validation Center. And we look forward to what you guys are going to come up with. Thank you for listening to the AgTech Talk podcast from Agribusiness Global. You can find more podcasts, videos, news, e-newsletters, event and webinar information at agribusinessglobal.com.